Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning service. The last week has been a week of men of God passing away into heaven. As I think of Dr. Ravi Zachariah, I think of Pastor Carl and also Pastor Nikana, and I've just been thinking about their lives and their ministries. I met Dr. Ravi Zachariah in 2016 in Bombay for a seminar and was able to meet him, shake his hands. And I remember him in that way. I think of Pastor Carl, who has been a good friend to me over the years, especially when I was in Goa as a missionary. The Bombay church supported me for a season. Pastor Carl and his family visited us many times in Goa, and Pastor Carl preached in our church in Goa. And I will really miss him. And also I think of Pastor Nikana. We had done a mission trip from the Goa church to Guntur, and I also think about his life and his work and his desire for the people in the village to get saved and be discipled, and even for Pastor Carl, you know, his work, his life, when I think about it, it really ministers to me, and I will really miss them. And so it's been a week thinking about them, thinking about life, thinking about death. And there's also been some praise reports. My dad and mom completed 60 years of married life on 28th. My sister is doing much better. And we are hoping and believing that churches will open up and we can meet again. So those are the things we look forward to. Also, as a prayer request, we can pray for Felix and Sharon. As Sharon is on the last season before the baby comes, we can just pray for good health for her and for the baby. And let's, for the reading this morning, let's turn to John chapter 15, verses 18 to verses 27. John chapter 15, verses 18 to verse 27. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do for you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me, he hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin, but now have they seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are a good God. You are our Heavenly Father who loves us deeply, Lord. We lift up the families of Dr. Ravi Zachariah. We lift up Susie and Andrew. We lift up Pastor Nikana's wife Lydia, his daughter and his two sons. We pray you really comfort them, Lord. We also pray for clarity about the lockdown getting over and us meeting as a church, we pray that it would happen smoothly and beautifully, Lord. And you would lead us, Lord, in those decisions. You would also help the government to make those right decisions. And speak to our hearts this morning, Father, we pray, and minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. When we look at this segment now, for the last two messages, I've been in John 15, and the first message was the first segment from John 15, 1 to 11, which talks about the vine and the branches, or it talks about God and me. And then from John chapter 15, verse 12 to 17, which was the second message we did, was me and the body of Christ, or loving one another as Christ has loved us. And now from John 15, 18 to 27, this is the third segment where Jesus talks about the believer and the world. And it's very interesting what he is saying to them. This is the last discourse, John 14, 15, 16, from 13 to 16, before he's going to the cross. And he's talking to these 11 disciples. And he's saying some very important things. So I would like to title this message, Paying Heed to the Instruction of the Lord. Paying Heed to the Instruction of the Lord. And now in verse 18, we see for the first time the word hate comes. So if you see in chapter 15, verses 18 to 25 is our first subsection for our first point. It talks about the world hating us, that the world will hate us. This is Jesus instructing them. That's a constant word which keeps coming. The world will hate you. And then he says, if we read in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, this is very interesting. The question is, why should the world hate me? He gives the answer in verse 19, or the explanation. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. When we see the word in John 15, 19, for the word love, it's a different word in the Greek. It is the word phileo, P-H-I-L-E-O, phileo. And what it means is to have something in common with somebody. Or it's based upon a friendship love. Like maybe I like football and somebody else likes football and we love each other based upon our common interest, which is football or art or something else. So it is that kind of love. And it's very interesting. He's making a demarcation here that now in verse 19, we are not of the world. Now we don't have something in common with the world. Now this is very interesting verse, because when you and I get born again, something happens in us. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And now we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son in Colossians 1, 13 and 14. And you and I experience something unique. And that experience is this, that we have nothing in common now with the world. Because we are from two different kingdoms. We are children of the light, and the whole world is in darkness. And Satan is the prince of that world, or he is in charge of that world. It's given here in John 14, 30. For the ruler of this world is coming. And in Ephesians 2, and verse 2, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So the world in the Greek here, which means it's an orderly arranged world. It's a world which runs in an orderly manner, but it is under Satan's rule, and that has been given to him by God. And Satan blinds the unbelievers in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And so they are of the world. And so we have now nothing in common with the world because we are chosen out of the world. And therefore, Jesus says, therefore the world hates you. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So here Jesus is saying that whatever the world will do to Jesus, and he is thinking about what they are going to do to him at the cross, is also what the world will do to us. If they go against Jesus, they will go against us. If they side with Jesus or they hear his word and keep his word, they will also side with us. That's what it is saying. And in verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. They will do to you for my name's sake. Now, this is very interesting that once you get saved, in principle, the world will start hating you. And the world is hating you not because it hates you as a person, but it hates the Lord Jesus. And because you believe in Jesus and you confess that you believe in Jesus, therefore the world starts hating you. That's what he's saying. For my name's sake. For my name's sake. In verse 22, he gives the reason why they start hating him. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. Now verses 22 to 24 talks about the subject of sin. Now sin is the issue, the fundamental issue between a holy God and sinful men. There is no other issue. And Jesus is saying that he came on the earth to the Jewish people and he convicted them of their sin. And they did not want to receive the conviction. And therefore, they hate him. So, it's very simple. So, when you get saved, you come under the kingdom of the Son, where Jesus is the head. It is a kingdom of light and it is a kingdom of righteousness. But when we were unsaved, we were under Satan. It was a kingdom of darkness and it was a kingdom of unrighteousness and it was a kingdom of sin and iniquity. And that is how we lived in the former life. When you and I get saved, we get transferred to this kingdom. And therefore now we have nothing in common with the kingdom of darkness, or we have nothing in common with the world, because the world as an entity or as a whole by itself, with its ideologies, its philosophies, its religions, and its way of life, whether good or bad, is totally in contrary, it is totally contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is contrary to the truth. It is contrary to light and it is contrary to the conviction of sin. And therefore, they hated Jesus because he convicted them of their sin. And therefore, they will also hate us. And then in verse 25, but this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. That's quoted in Psalm 35:19 and in Psalm 69:4. They hated me without a cause. That means there is no justifiable reason as to why the people of that time, the Jewish people of that time, hated Jesus. There was no justifiable reason. And the only reason we can think of is because the principle of evil is working in unbelievers and their minds are darkened and they are not able to see the light. And they are not able to be convinced about righteousness. Therefore, they hated Jesus without a cause. So that's the first point today, which Jesus is instructing his disciples, that in principle that the world is going to hate you. Now, this is something which we find very difficult to accept, because we want the cake and want to eat it too. You know, many times in our lives we want to be believers, but we also want to be accepted in the world, right? And there is a demarcation, there is a separation. You know, when I was a missionary in Goa and I would tell people about believing in Jesus for salvation, the first question the normal person would say is, what will people say? So their whole frame of reference was social acceptance. If I believe in what you are saying, then I will be socially ostracized. I will be called a believer. Nobody will talk to me, and so on and so forth. But they could not understand the love of God. They could not understand what God wanted to give them. And for them, what people had to say mattered more than what God wanted to say and give them. And this sometimes also is a challenge for most believers, that we think in our minds, what will people say? Actually, it really doesn't matter what people say or what social acceptance is, because whatever people have to say is constantly changing. In Acts chapter 28, when Paul reached Malta, which is an island, a serpent, you know, comes onto his hand, and the native said, he is a bad man, therefore the serpent is coming to give justice. And when he throws the serpent out, they can't believe it, and they say, no, no, he must be a god. So what people have to say constantly vacillates, but what God has to say about you is a constant. It is based upon his love, it is based upon his truth, it is based upon his finished work which he has done on the cross for you and for me. And therefore we need to focus on what God has to say about you and me, rather than what people say about me, rather than what my own family says about me, or rather than what I think about myself, or what I say, think in my mind about my own self. We must focus on what God has to say about us. And what is God saying here? He is saying here, in principle, that the world will hate you because we are not of the world. So there is the first point. The world is going to hate you. And why? Because there is a separation. And why is there a separation? There is a separation because you are no more of the world. You are no more a child of darkness. You are a child of light. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You are born again. You can see and hear spiritual things, right? You have spiritual light in you, which the world doesn't have. And because you believe in the true God, and because you believe that sin is the issue, and that Jesus paid for that sin, and if you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven, and that now righteousness is the issue. Not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. And because you and I are now having new desires through the Holy Spirit to follow after righteousness, it is going to contrast with the ideology of the world, and therefore the world is going to hate you. When you come to John 16, it's very interesting. It adds to that part of persecution and hatred. In verse 1, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. I love this. I love this. Jesus is telling them in advance. So I'm telling you in advance that, you know, when it does happen, I don't want you to get offended or stumble. Verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So now it's very beautiful what Jesus is saying here. I'm saying it so that when it does happen, you must remember that I forewarned you. I told you that it will happen. You should not get surprised by it. You should not think, how can this happen? So that is why the message today is paying heed to the instruction of the Lord. Sometimes God, the Lord is talking to us about our past. Sometimes the Lord is talking to us about our present. But sometimes the Lord is not talking to us about our present, but what is going to happen in the future. And because we think it's going to happen in the future, we don't pay heed to it. But we must pay heed to all of the word of God. Because one day it is going to happen in the future. In verse 26, when we come here, he says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Now this is the second point. So the first point is the world will hate you. And therefore we must understand we are separated from the world. The second point is the precious ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, and as I read this passage over and over again, one of the things which comforted me, the King James says comforter, the New King James says helper, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, we must understand that the third person of the Trinity is involved in the ministry of the gospel, to convict somebody of the gospel, to convict somebody of the truth. And Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit in two ways. He spoke about the Holy Spirit with respect to the past in John 14:26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So whatever I've taught you in the past, he will bring to your remembrance. But when you come to John chapter 16 verse 12, he says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." That's interesting. So the revelation of truth is progressive to the believer in the sanctificational walk. Because sometimes if God were to tell us something, we may not be able to receive it. But in John 16:13, he says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. He will tell you about the past, bring to your remembrance, teach you all things, but he will also tell you things to come, and he shall also testify of me in John 15:26. So this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the age of grace, right from Acts chapter 2, for the last 2,000 years, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is convicting the world in John 16:9. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness in 16:10, because I go to my Father. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin. So whenever we share the gospel with somebody, the Holy Spirit is convicting that person of his sin and his need to believe in Jesus as a Savior. That's the precious ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit now is in us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1:13 and Ephesians 4:30. And the Holy Spirit is also doing a deep work in our lives of conviction, of teaching us the truth, of making us remember the truth, and also showing us things to come progressively. The Holy Spirit is doing it. He is the Paracletos, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit prays for us in Romans 8 with groanings which cannot be heard. The Holy Spirit, he is in us. And that is so comforting to know. And then when you come to verse 27, which is the third point, "And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." Now when this is Jesus talking to his 11 disciples before the cross. So when you see that when he is arrested, and you see in Matthew chapter 27 or 26, after Jesus is arrested, and somebody tells Peter, "Oh, you are one of him," Peter denies Jesus. Why did Peter deny Jesus? Because he wanted to be accepted in the world, number one, and he was fearful about his life. Therefore, he denied Jesus. But in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down and when Peter preached, after that he never denied Jesus. Right? Why? Because you will bear witness. They bore witness. They bore witness. And people got saved. The first sermon he preached in Acts 2, 3,000 got saved. Then in Acts chapter 3, they heal a man. They again preach. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, 5,000 get saved. They get threatened. They get put into jail. In Acts chapter 8, 1, there was a severe persecution. In Acts chapter 10 is the story of Cornelius and Paul gets saved. In Acts 13, God leads Paul and Barnabas for missions. What is happening? This is happening. The command which Jesus had given in Mark 16, verse 15. This is happening. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is happening. Jerusalem, Judea, Acts chapter 1:8, and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. They started evangelizing in Israel. Then God led Paul and Barnabas for missions to different Gentile nations. And slowly by slowly the gospel spread and people got saved and people got discipled. Right? In conclusion today, when you think about this third part of John chapter 15, what do we see? The first thing we see is we are separated from the world. But in John 17, Jesus says we are still in the world. Why are we still in the world? We are in the world so that we can be a witness for him. And what else? It is the Holy Spirit who is helping us to witness. Working in us and as we witness is also convicting the other person to get saved. And as I think today of why we are on the earth, and as I think about Pastor Carl and Pastor Nikana and Dr. Ravi Zachariah, that they have gone to heaven to be with the Lord, this is what comes to my mind. There is an end to the sanctificational life that we have. There is a certain end. There is a certain time period we have on the earth after salvation. And we get saved, we get discipled, and then what does the Lord want us to do? To share the gospel to every creature. And then for the ones who get saved from that, to disciple them. That is what we are here on the earth for. To be a light unto the world. Not for the world to influence us, not for us to compromise with the world and be friends with the world. In James 4 it says, if you are friends with the world, James 4:4, you are an enemy of God. Not to love the world in 1 John 2:15 to 17. Because the world is passing away. But you know what is the good news for us? The good news for us is we are in the world, we are not of the world. In John 17, Jesus is praying that God would keep us from evil. But the Lord wants us to be his witnesses. And one day, our time is up and we go to heaven. Because heaven is our home. The world is not our home. Today, if you have your own home, that's great. Praise the Lord. If you stay in a rented place, that's great. Praise the Lord. Or if you're staying in a place which you can't even afford the rent, it's no problem. Because the world is not our home. Jesus said in John 14, 1 to 3, I am going there making mansions and I will come and take you there. In Hebrews 11, 13, right, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So this is an encouragement today for us today. You know, as we are just waiting for the lockdown to open and to meet as a church and again to start sharing the gospel, you know, start doing mission trips. This is an encouragement for us that today we can pray for those whom we shared to before the lockdown. We've always been sharing the gospel as a church, right? Pray for them that God would open their hearts to believe in Jesus, right? And after the lockdown, pray for people, God would prepare the hearts of the people whom we are going to meet, whom we can share the gospel. Now, many times people say this, oh, I'm not a pastor or an evangelist, or I don't have that gift, I'm not called into the ministry, it doesn't matter. God desires that all of us would share the gospel. Even in your whole Christian life, if you share the gospel continuously and one person gets saved, you know what the Bible says? There is rejoicing in heaven in Luke 15 over one person who gets saved. Why? Because all the wealth of the world put together cannot buy that person's soul in Matthew 16, 26. That person's soul was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. So be encouraged. Share the gospel. through friendship, through a track, through the internet, through social media. Share the gospel. You know, witness, be kind. You know, let have convictions. Let people see your convictions. Okay, why does so and so does it? Why do they not do this? Why do they not socially drink? Why do they not attend religious festivals of other faiths? Why do they not bow down before idols? They should know that. And when they know that, they will understand whom we believe in. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So why are we here on the earth? To be a witness, to share the gospel. And for those who get saved, to teach them. You know, join Bible school. Don't live in ignorance. Learn the word so that you can grow and also come to a place where you can teach others. If you have a four-year, if you finish 4 years of Bible school, you know, make a decision. Pray to God. God, lead me to a field or use me to have a Bible study or to teach. You don't need a title to start a Bible study. Just, you know, be led of God and invest in somebody. You know why? Because when Pastor Carl and Pastor Nikana and Dr. Ravi Zachariah, when you look back at their lives, what did they leave behind? People who got saved and the ones who got saved, whom they have discipled, that fruit remains because it's the fruit which God has given them. It is God's fruit. It is not our fruit. And that fruit remains. Focus on the next generation. Focus on your children, your small children, your teens. Teach them. Let your lives be an example unto them by grace. Right? Why? Because one day will come and it is over. And like the Apostle Paul said, may this be our prayer. And I want to read that for us in 2 Timothy 4:7. May this be our prayer. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Amen? That should be our prayer. That should be our desire. It's not about being perfect. It's not about being sinless. It's not about not having failures in our lives. It's about when you fail, you get up, you ask God for grace, you confess, and you go forward. Right? And that should be our life. Just like these men of God who have gone to heaven and are our examples to us, we also can aim at this. So let's, in conclusion today, last thought, but the most important thought. We don't need the world. We need the word. The difference between world and word is L. It's a very small difference. But we need the word. Whoever you are, whether you're a businessman, whether you're middle-aged, whether you're an older person, a younger person, a student, a working person, a Bible college student, and a missionary, an aspiring missionary, whoever you are, you and I, we need the word. And we need to pay heed to the instruction which the Lord wants to give us. Maybe the instruction is not for today, but for the future. We pay heed. And you know what's the great news today? Even in this coronavirus, it didn't shake us. Why? God has already given us instruction. And what is that instruction about the future? We are eternally secure. He has conquered death. We don't have to worry about death. When we die, you and I, we are going to heaven. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. What is that? Instruction. And why are we here on the earth? Yes, we enjoy this relationship with God in John 15, 1 to 11. We enjoy the body of Christ. We receive love, agape love, and we love one another as He has loved us. And what else? We love the world unconditionally, through the love He gives us. We don't love their sin, but we love the world. You know, remember, we must never forget where we have come from. We came from the world. Today, we are in the world, but we are not of the world because He has chosen us out of the world. And why has He chosen us out of the world? To be a witness. To be a witness for Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. Thank You, Lord. May Your precious Holy Spirit comfort us, minister to us, speak to our hearts, and do a deep work in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that You would use our lives in our homes, in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces, on the streets, wherever, Lord, in the mission field, that many would get saved, and many, many, Lord, come to the saving knowledge of your truth. Because you have said in John 3, you did not come into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Yes, help us to understand our separation. Help us, Lord, to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and help us to understand that you have kept us on the earth to be your precious witnesses. Yes, Lord. Yes. Sometimes the only Jesus which the lost world can see is your life through us. Yes, Lord. Use us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.